My name is Leroy Sullivan, and I'm the mayor for the city of Donaldsonville. We're in Donaldsonville, Louisiana. The population of Donaldsonville is 7,436. And I've been the mayor of Donaldsonville since March of 2004. One of the first things that I would want anybody to know about me is that I'm a God-fearing Christian. I love God. I love people. I love this community that I live in. And I just love, you know, life itself. Well, what gets me out of bed and excited is coming to the city of Donaldsonville again and having the opportunity to make a difference in someone's life. Sometimes it is a struggle being a small community where everybody knows everybody. I get blamed for everything, all of the bad stuff. The good stuff has enough people to go around to share the accolades. So the motivation is just to be able to help people. It's a small community, so sometimes I have to be the lawyer, I have to be a lending institution, just a counselor, help people with jobs. It's very broad. People ring the doorbell, knock on the door all the time, and I want to see Leroy, you know. Very seldom they say the mayor because it's such a small community, but I feel like I can help people socially, economically, and spiritually, because being the mayor, it gives me the opportunity to witness to people and let them know when they come in, they're frustrated. When they're down, and I'll let them know that God cares about them and that they just have to learn to trust in Him and everything will work out. Jesus said when he talked to His disciples, He told them, He said, "Peace I leave with you." And He also said, "That peace I give to you." So if you want true peace, you have to have a relationship with God. You have to believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So peace to me means having a relationship and knowing that God died for my sins and that He loves me, and in spite of my shortcomings, He still loves me. And that's enough peace there. I also find peace in my family. I find peace in knowing that I can help people. I say all of the time, you know, as long as I can go to sleep at night and rest well and wake up in the morning and the person that's staring back at me, we are okay with each other, then that's peace. And even in the midst of those challenges, the only way that you can find true peace is with the Word of God. You know, with the recent murders that we've had, if it was just one, it was one too many. But in the last 8 to 9 months, we've had, I think, four. And, you know, it's unheard of for this community. But at the same time, it's indicative of what's going on in our society. You have so much drugs. You have so many people have fallen away from Christianity that we live in a sin-sick world where a life doesn't mean anything to people. How do you find peace? The only way you can find that is by looking into the Word of God. And in spite of what goes on, you know that God is still in control. His will is what has to be done. If I had my way, even as the mayor, I would say, okay, that's it. No more killings, no more nothing. And if I could wave that magic wand and stop it, I would. But that's not reality. That's not life. There's been killing ever since the beginning of time. When even if you think about when Cain killed his brother Abel, you know, so it's been something that's been ongoing. It's devastating, especially in a small community where everybody know each other, to have something like that to happen, because we all mourn that death, because everybody know. I know the family of the young man that was recently killed. I know the family, matter of fact, the young lady that was killed about a month ago was my cousin. I know the family of the young man that was killed a few months ago. I know the family of the young man that was killed in either December or January. So, you know, because it's a small community and everybody knows everybody, it hits home every time it happens. To work toward healing in the community, things that we have done, there's concern citizens, there's groups that we've gotten together, and in the very recent past, we've had a teen summit where we had a whole day of talking to the young people about stopping the violence and giving them, you know, the perception from someone that's incarcerated, from a rapper who used to be into gangs and everything else. We've had mega sports camps where we've brought the young people in and taught them basketball, flag football, soccer, dance, and cheerleading, and also gave them the Word of God. We've had rallies where we walk the street, you know, just singing and praising and praying on the corner. We're trying to do it all just to let people know everything that we've done has a focus on putting Christ first. And I think that if we do that and we continue to do that, it's not going to change overnight. But I think that if we continue to work and let people know that, first of all, you got to have love. The Bible, when it speaks of love, it lets you know that's the first commandment, that you love one another. And if you love each other, then you won't have all of the other things that happen. So many of our young people, because of the poverty and all in Downsville and the area, may not get the love, the nurturing, and all that they need at home. But sometimes we just have to let people know that there are people in this community that loves you, and most of all, let them know that God loves them. I think even when you look at poverty and murder and drugs and everything going hand in hand, what you find happening is a lot of times you have people that are living in poverty looking for a way out. So they turn to drugs, they turn to selling drugs or dealing drugs, and then even society has a tendency to capitalize on those areas, bring the drugs into those communities. At a young age, young people, young boys, young girls start selling drugs, and the drugs leads to violence. And even just the poverty of not having a good education, not being able to get a decent job, chances are that you're going to turn to either stealing or doing something that's illegal. And then you end up incarcerated. So it all works hand in hand. And a lot of times you have single moms, young single females trying to provide for a family. If they work, they're having to work 2 and 3 jobs, so they don't get to spend a whole lot of time with their children. A lot of times they're so young when they have a child that the grandparents are raising them. And a lot of it, too, that I find out have to do with young people. They have no respect. Give you an example. When I was a young boy, you know, growing up in Downsville in this community, a small community, if I did something wrong, the neighbors were there. They were gonna correct me or whatever. And let's say I walk into the neighborhood store. Every time I passed by that elderly person, I had to speak. And I, no matter if I passed there 10 times, I was going to speak. And if you didn't speak, you know, your parents are going to find out about it. You know, you can say, well, I spoke on my way to the store. No, you speak going, you speak coming back. And if they told you to stop or to don't do something, you respect the people in the community, because the community was such a close-knit community, and it was a different generation. We grew up respecting those in the community. You don't have that now. A lot of the young people, they don't respect their parents. They don't respect their teachers. There's some that don't even respect me as the mayor. You know, they figure they can tell me whatever they want. That's what we have to work on. You won't have true peace until we take back control of this nation. And the only way that you're going to do that is by letting people know love. And sometimes you have to have tough love. You know, sometimes people want to say, oh, well, you can't do this to them, you can't do that. The Bible tell you, don't spare the rod. Now, you shouldn't abuse your child, but you have to let them know that if you don't do what I tell you to do, or you go against what I'm teaching you, there are consequences. Because if not, then those consequences go from just mom or dad, you know, tapping them on the wrist to now they're old enough where they're behind bars. And when you talk about peace in the community, that peace arises from being able to live a good quality of life. And the only way you're going to have a quality of life is that our children have to learn values. They have to learn Christian values. And when they learn those Christian values, then they're going to be better citizens. A great example of when I saw peace was a few years ago when we had a young kid who was riding his bike and just happened to be in the line of fire of some territorial rival or something of that nature, and he was shot riding his bike by an assault weapon. Thanks be to God that he wasn't seriously hurt or killed, but the community came together, because here it is, you have a young child, and everybody started looking at, well, wait a minute, that could have been my child riding his bike, you know, in the neighborhood, and, you know, where I think that he should be safe. and he wasn't. So everyone came together, the churches, the community, law enforcement, everybody came together to work together to try to make a difference in the community. And it was all about peace. And so it was a good example. And I was like, wow, if we could do this on a regular basis. Too often what happens is you have a tragedy that happens and everybody comes galloping in, you know, let's do this, let's do that or whatever. And then after that, okay, let's ride off into the sunset. Well, that's not what it's going to take. It takes doing it over and over again until people get the message. They have to be a learning curve and they have to be a teaching. And the only way that's going to happen is you can't just do it this one time and then expect everyone to say, oh, okay, I got it. And now the community is going to be better. It's something that you have to do over and over again. It's sort of like learning to ride a bike. You know, you have to get on it, and you're going to have some bumpy roads. You're going to fall a few times, but you have to do the same thing over and over again until you learn. And that's what I think when that happened, I thought about, wow, this is great, everybody coming together. You know, you can feel the peace, you can feel the love, the joy of the community, but it didn't last. And that was the only thing that I regretted about it. We do have short memories, and I say all the time, with everything that goes on in community that's negative, you'd be like, okay, let's say that a young person ODs, you know, on drugs, then you would think that everybody said, well, I'm not doing that anymore. But it's short-lived. It stays in our memory up front for a very, very short period of time, and then it is overtaken by something else. Now, you don't ever forget if somebody brings, oh, yeah, I remember that happened years ago or whatever. But I think because we are creatures that we are always taking in, and we always feel that we are comfortable. Even with drugs, we always feel like, okay, that's going to happen in somebody else's family. You know, my child is not going to be on drugs. My child is not going to get in trouble or anything. That's somebody else. It's not for me to worry about. I'm okay. My family is okay. But it's not. It affects all of us. We have to all make sure that we don't let it slip to the back part or put it in that memory bank way in the back of our minds and keep it up front and fresh. That way we can make a difference. Well, yes, I've had a lot of things that happened in my life to help me transform my vision of the way I think. But one of the big things that happened in my life was May the 24th of 2000. I was involved in an explosion at the chemical plant that I worked at right here in Donaldsonville, and I was burned over 50% of my body. I had a 3-week-old son at the time, you know, along, he was the baby of the family. My son, he's 14 now. He've never seen me without the scars, without the burns. But, you know, it transformed my life in the sense that I was outside, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and told me to go inside, but I was disobedient. I was standing outside having a conversation with two other guys about motorcycles. We're all on them, you know, and the Holy Spirit said to me again, go inside, just like you and I are talking. And I still didn't listen. And finally, the third time it said, go inside. And I turned to go inside. I told those guys that were going inside because I was a supervisor, and I had a midnight report to do. It was like 11:30. And when I turned to walk away, this vessel blew up. And so the force of it pushed me down. And when I raised up my head, all I could see was fire all around me. And I said, Lord, I'm going to die. I put my head back down. I didn't know what to do. And the hands of God took and rolled me out of the fire. And people say all the time, they say, man, how did you think to drop and roll? You know. And I said, first of all, I didn't think to drop. I was knocked down. And I didn't roll on my own. The hands of God rolled me out of the fire. And then it told me to get up and run. And I did. I spent 37 days in a burn unit. The doctors said that I probably wouldn't have use of my hands. But I can't do everything that I used to do, but I can use my hands. It was a life-changing experience, but at the same time, I knew that God was dealing with me, and I was being disobedient to what he wanted me to do in my life. But because of that experience, I have been able to witness to other people. I've been able to encourage other people that have gone through similar situations or whatever. And one of the things that is key to remember is that when God spared your life, it's for a reason. And we go through trials, we go through tests, and we go through tests in order to have a testimony. And so I have a testimony that I can tell people about, you know, my life-changing experience. And I use them all the time. I tell them, I say, I'm not as good-looking as I used to be, but I'm still a good-looking guy, you know. So I can find a little humor in it and all, but it changed my life. It really did. You know, my younger kids, I can't get out and throw a football with them. My shoulder, you know, is out of whack. There's a whole lot of things that I can't do, but I don't sit down and mope and complain about it. I you know, I make do with what the abilities that I do have, and I thank God for it. So it was a life-changing experience, but it was a humbling experience, and it's also taught me that, you know, that's work that God had for me to do. If I had more money, if I had a better job, if I had this, if I had that, yes, we say if I had, but what are we doing with what we have? That's the key right there, you know. You don't have to have a whole lot of money, but in order to give to help somebody. But you find people that won't lend a hand at all. The community that I grew up here in Donaldsonville, we all helped each other. You know, it was nothing for the neighbor to come and borrow some sugar. Nobody went around, talked about it. Well, did you know she had to come in and borrow a cup of sugar? If that was to happen now, it'll be on Facebook, you know? It's about giving. It's about sharing what you have. I'm going to give you an example. My mother died April 1st of 2010. But before she died, she told me that she wanted me to take care of the family. When she was telling family, my brothers and my sisters, I have two sisters and a brother that's older than I am. But she was laying this responsibility on me. And she said that, I'm not telling you to take care of them with money. She said, I'm telling you to make sure that y'all stay together. Every Sunday since that, because all of my brothers and sisters, except one brother, he lived in Florida, we live within 10 miles of each other. So every Sunday we get together and we cook and eat and just socialize. You know, so it's bringing the family together, having a good time, you know, laughing, joking, and everything else. Just think about if we could do that on a larger scale with this whole community, where we can just come together and just have that fellowship. My advice to the world would be learning to love one another. The Bible says in, what is it, John, the 13th chapter, I think the 15th verse, it says, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for a friend. So Jesus showed himself friendly by laying down his life for us. And we don't have to lay down our lives for one another. But if we just dare to help one another, to love one another, to treat one another with the utmost respect, this world, this country, would be a better place to live. I don't get into the different religious aspects of it, you know, whether you're Catholic, Baptist, or whatever. We all are God's children.